You'll turn over to Genesis chapter 31. That's where we find the text we want to look at today. And the setting for this text that I'm about to read is Jacob has called Rachel and Leah, his wives, out to the flocks and the fields where he is, and he's explaining to them that it's time for him to leave, that God has called him to leave the land of their fathers, the land of Laban, Padan Aram, and to leave, and to go back to the land of his fathers. And of course, the background, I'm sure you're all very familiar with the background, how Jacob came looking for a wife, that he wasn't to take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, but to go to Rebekah's brother and find a wife there. And he did find a wife. In fact, he ended up with two wives, because Laban tricked him, as you know, and substituted Leah for Rachel on the wedding night. And this is after Jacob had worked 7 years for Rachel. I mean, rather than give him the wife that he loved and she loved him, and it was God's design, and send a dowry along with the wife as was the custom, Laban said, well, work for me 7 years. Now, I know Jacob said, I will work for you 7 years, but it's what Laban wanted. Laban had no intention of doing things the right way. He was a greedy man. He was out for himself. And then he married off Leah by trickery. There's another 7 years of labor. And then Jacob labors still longer for some of the offspring of Laban's flocks, which he's taking care of. And God wonderfully and providentially gives him large flocks himself. And I believe you know the story. But now, the sons of Laban are jealous. Laban's countenance is not toward Jacob like it was anymore. He perceives that Jacob is getting stronger and stronger and doing well, and he's not doing as well as he wants to do, he being Laban. So Jacob says that it's time to go. He says, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And so now he says, we need to go. And in 14, we see Rachel and Leah respond to Jacob when he says, we're leaving now. We're leaving the land of your fathers. We're leaving the land where you were born and grew up. We're leaving this place and we're going back to my father's household and place. And Rachel and Leah, verse 14, answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? In other words, they're saying there is no inheritance or portion. They're saying, is there yet? No, of course not. And Jacob knows it full well, and so do they. Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours, and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. And so they answered like godly women and said, we're with you. Whatever God has led you to do, do it. But they say, there's no portion, no inheritance for us in our father's house. We're counted like strangers, not like daughters. He's robbed us of our inheritance. He has no intention of giving our inheritance. And we have no portion or no allotment in his house. And he's devoured everything that should have been ours. And he's counted us then as strangers in the land, not as his own daughters in his own house. Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? No, none. This is how Laban treated his own daughters, his own children. My heavenly father is not a father like Laban. God is my heavenly father. If you're in Christ, he's your heavenly father. And when a sinner is justified and born again by grace through faith in Christ, he becomes a child of God. That is what you are. You're a child of God. It's not just simply a figure of speech. There's an adoption. God is our heavenly Father, our eternal Father by adoption. This relationship is positional. It is also practical. I mean, there are practical benefits. There are real benefits and blessings. There's a real relationship. There are real duties that we're called to do. There are real duties that our Father will fulfill toward us. But he's really our Father. And he's not a father like Laban. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He's really our Father. We're really his children. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Comfort your hearts. We ought to be comforted in our hearts that God is our Father, and he's not a father like Laban. God is our eternal Father. And unlike Laban, our Heavenly Father treats his children as children, not as strangers. And he's given us a sure inheritance and a blessed portion in his house. God promises his children eternal life and a kingdom. We're heirs of salvation, the Bible says. And then in another place it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs of a kingdom here is what's being spoken of. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Heirs of eternal life, heirs of a kingdom of eternal glory and holiness and blessing and joy and power and peace. We're joint heirs with Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, over a kingdom given to him by the Father. And God delights to give this inheritance to his children. He delights to give this inheritance to you and to I and to guard it. And he doesn't give it grudgingly, and he doesn't give it conditionally. And all his promises are yea and amen. We have an eternal inheritance from our Father. And we have a portion in his house while we're here. Right now, while we're here. And then forever. Those in Christ are in the household of God. The household of God built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The psalmist says, I cried unto thee, O Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You have a portion from the Lord now, from your heavenly Father. The Lord is my portion, Lamentations 3:24. Saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is our portion, it said, even now and for all eternity. Because all the love, all the grace, all the mercy, all the peace, all the protection, all the gifts, all the blessings, all the benefits, the fellowship with the saints and with the Lord, eternal life itself, the Holy Spirit, godly wisdom, heavenly knowledge, all these things are ours, given by our Father through the Spirit, through the Son, by the Spirit, as members of his church. We're members of his church. So as members of his church, we're his beloved children of a heavenly Father. We have a sure portion in our Father's house. We have a sure portion in our Father's house, not like Rachel and Leah had in their father's house. We have a portion in the Lord's house. We have a portion at his table as his children. This is a sure portion. And he takes care of the fowls of the air. He takes care of the entire creation. Are ye not much better than they? You needn't worry that we have a father like Laban, because we don't. Our Heavenly Father is not like Laban. And everything that we need, the Scriptures say our Heavenly Father knows. Your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And he holds back nothing from his children, although they hold themselves back from him. And thus they don't receive a full portion sometimes. They're not willing to sit at his table. They want to sit at the table of the world as well sometimes. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have an allotment or a portion in that house. And God's not a father like Laban. God delights to give his children an inheritance and a portion in his house. Rachel and Leah said, are we not counted as strangers? And the Scriptures say that you once were strangers. I was once a stranger to the household of God. But now the Scriptures say ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're not strangers in the Lord's house. We're not treated as strangers. as Laban treated his daughter, both of his daughters. Our Heavenly Father isn't a father like Laban. Our Father loves His children with an everlasting love, which assures them of their portion in His house. I want you to think about this today. I want me to think about this today, so we might live accordingly. So we might love Him accordingly. For the Father Himself, Jesus says, loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. Scriptures say this about the Lord's people, His church. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath He sent me into the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye. You don't think He feels that way about the church today? He does. And Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'll be preaching from that passage this afternoon. We have this love of God shed abroad in our hearts. If we're in Christ, we're not cold toward the Lord, our Heavenly Father. We experience that love in our hearts. When we experience His forgiveness, we experience His grace and His mercy. When we see how He's taken care of all of our needs, even though maybe we've worried and fretted about our needs, and yet He took care of them. Why do we worry and fret so much? Our Heavenly Father is not like Laban. We have an inheritance. We have a portion in His house. Rachel and Leah said, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our Father's house? And the answer for them was no. There was none. Not at all. But our Heavenly Father is not like Laban. So our inheritance from Him is not like the inheritance of Rachel and Leah. If we would look at just for a minute at our inheritance first. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This speaks of our eternal life, the salvation of our souls. Do you know why I am not worried about my eternal life? Because it's hid in Christ. Because it's based on His blood and His righteousness. It's rooted in what He's done, not what I've done. And I'm kept by the power of God. And I know I'm kept because my Heavenly Father is not a father like Laban. This is my inheritance. I'll receive my inheritance. Laban robbed his two children of their inheritance. Our Heavenly Father guards and preserves our inheritance by His omnipotent power and by His perfect righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 37, verse 18 says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And He's given us a kingdom. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. He's given us a kingdom. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is part of our inheritance in Christ. Fear not, little flock. You have the kingdom. By the omnipotent power of God, your place in the kingdom is secured forever. This glorious kingdom of Christ, this indestructible, holy, eternal kingdom of peace and righteousness is ours. That's part of our inheritance. And our inheritance is secure, our inheritance in Christ. Because our Father is not like Laban. And our portion is secure. Because again, our Heavenly Father is not like Laban and not like some other earthly fathers who care for themselves only and not their children. Our Father will never take away the portion He's given us as His children. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He didn't spare His Son, but delivered Him up for us all of His people. Do you think He'll hold back anything else? Do you think He'll take away our portion in His house? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, if our inheritance is sure, then our portion is sure. Because the same God has secured both for us and promised both to us. Now, unlike Rachel and Leah, many among the Lord's people treat their portion and treat their inheritance with contempt. Rachel and Leah were upset that their father had robbed them of their inheritance and their portion. They were upset. They were concerned for it. They didn't treat it with contempt. There was a value there to them. And there was a right involved. And there was a duty by their father to give them their inheritance and their portion. You know, his father had given the inheritance and portion to him. And they said, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Now, many Christians today treat their inheritance with contempt. They treat eternal life with contempt. It's just the best case scenario. They despise the pleasant land. We can all do this. We don't talk about it because to talk about heaven, we're going to have to talk about death. And we wouldn't want to talk about death, that doorway to heaven. We start getting older and we get all depressed. We're getting older. God is giving you this age for a reason. Others are dead. You've learned many things along the way. He's shown you all His sure mercies. Now you're to glorify Him in this stage of your life as well. Instead of murmuring and mourning that you're getting older and what might happen to me. Well, God takes care of the birds of the air, the fowls of the air, and the grass of the field. He'll take care of you. You have little faith. And we despise the pleasant land. We despise the promised land. And many live as strangers in the Lord's house then, rather than pilgrims and strangers in this world. I mean, they're citizens of this world, rather than pilgrims and strangers in this world and citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And I speak to myself as well. May God apply His word to my heart. And many despise the kingdom of God, both in heaven and on earth. And they despise the blood of the covenant. And it's counted by some as an unholy thing. And despite is done to the spirit of grace. How many are set for the defense of the gospel? How many are willing to embrace or at least coexist with other gospels and the other spirits and false teachers? They're just welcomed into the church. Welcomed into the kingdom of God, so to speak. But they're not really in the kingdom of God, but they're among the Lord's people. How many despise the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ and Him crucified with all these man-centered doctrines and by this neglect of the doctrines of our faith? I mean, they despise the inheritance that our Heavenly Father gives His children, eternal life through Jesus Christ, who bled and died to save His people from their sins. To redeem a people for His own possession, zealous of good works. And they neglect and despise the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And neglect their portion from the Lord. And of course they limit that portion then. Our inheritance is sure. There's no limiting your inheritance if you're really in Christ. It's sure you have it. It's unchanging. Because you're either in Christ and have eternal life or you don't. There are no degrees. But you can limit your portion from the Lord in this life. Our inheritance is simple and sure and cannot be limited, but our portion of the Lord can be limited. How many don't seek after the gifts and graces that the Lord gives His obedient children? How many don't really care about spiritual growth, no matter what they say? You know what they care about? Moral living and good causes. I'm all for moral living and good causes. But what we need is spiritual growth. What we need is to be spiritual men, not just do-gooders and sweet moralists. And how many neglect prayer and scripture reading and the preaching of the Word of God? How many neglect the household of God, the church? How many conform to the world and their worldly desires rather than being transformed by the renewing of their minds? May God apply this to all of us. Cause us to examine our own lives. And let us consider one another, it says, to provoke unto love and to good works. We're supposed to admonish one another, even in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We lose when we neglect these things. Those in Christ have a portion of the Lord's house. But when we neglect these things, we can lose a part of that portion. We squander it. Some are like the prodigal son in the parable. And just squander their portion with selfish, reckless living. And he said, when he came to himself, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. How many Christians, how many times in our lives are we squandering our portion from heaven? This heavenly Father of ours would give us bread from heaven, and we'd rather starve. Well, if that's been you, consider the prodigal son. Consider his father, who killed the fatted calf when he came back and rejoiced. This is how much your heavenly Father loves you. We hurt ourselves when we squander our portion, but if we'll turn and go back to him, he'll rejoice and give us a full portion. Turn back to Christ. Turn back to your Heavenly Father. Go back to His house. Receive the full portion. He's not like Laban. You have a portion. You have an inheritance from Him, from our Heavenly Father, through Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Those in Christ have a sure inheritance and a blessed portion. But you know the Lord also has a portion. The Lord has a portion. And we must not treat it with contempt. What is the Lord's portion? The church is the Lord's portion. The church. But of all the great mass of humanity, He's chosen the church. His elect to be His chosen people. His holy nation. This is His portion. Speaking by Jeremiah the prophet, the Holy Spirit said, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. And so do many of the people. Throughout the Old Testament, Israel is oftentimes allegorically spoken of as a woman. As a woman. As the Lord's daughter. As the Lord's virgin daughter. And certainly the true daughter of the Lord were those true believers in Israel, the church, which constitutes with all believers, for all time, saved by grace, alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, since the beginning until the last day, the church. The church is pictured as a beautiful woman, as a virgin bride, as the daughter of Zion, as the king's daughter. And Psalm 45, verse 13 says, the king's daughter is all glorious within, her clothing is of wrought iron. Wrought gold. They've made it iron, tin, and brass. They being those who have contempt for the Lord's portion and treat it with contempt. The king's daughter is all glorious within, her clothing is of wrought gold. The church is clothed with all the precious graces and gifts and glory which flow to her from her Father through the head of the church, the Son of God, said to be her husband. She's clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and she's sanctified by the Holy Spirit. the king's daughter is all glorious within, and her clothing is of wrought gold. But not so much today. You see, it's always been the desire and scheme of the devil to cheapen and coarsen the king's daughter, the son's bride. And that work goes on apace today with all the foolishness and stupidity and rock and roll and recklessness and worldliness and neglect of true doctrine and neglect of church discipline and neglect of everything, it seems almost, that's right and holy and spoken of in the Scriptures. And there have always been those who have labored mightily to pollute and prostitute the king's daughter, the Lamb's wife. Always. Pollute the king's daughter. Prostitute her, if possible, in all sorts of manners. And with ecumenism. And with all sort of error. And with all sorts of ungodly yoking. And all sorts of unrighteous associations. And with all sort of improper uses. Let's make her an arm of the some political party. Let's do that. Let's yoke her to Roman Catholics to stop abortion. Let's do that. And on and on. And why do so many turn a blind eye when the mother of harlots masquerades as the king's daughter and Christ's chosen bride? It doesn't seem to bother so many people that this Roman Catholic Church, led by the Antichrist, can masquerade before the whole world and mock the true church and mock the Lord Jesus Christ and mock the gospel and pretend to be the true church. And how many speak up? This is the Lord's portion. We want our portion from Him. This is the Lord's portion. Aren't we jealous for His portion? Or are we like Laban? Why is it so many profess to love the Father and follow the Son, yet they're willing to see the king's daughter stripped of all of her glory and the son's bride threadbare and weak? Where is the zeal to build up the local churches which constitute the church of God as a whole? Where's the zeal to build up the church and give her what she needs to take the banner of Christ forward? This is the Lord's portion. God forbid that we would rejoice in our portion, which comes from the Lord, from our Heavenly Father, and then treat His portion with contempt. God forbid, but so many do. You know, the women of yesteryear, I mean God's women of yesteryear, shame most of the men today. I won't go to the men, I'll go to the women here. We talk about the men a lot, and we ought, because they also shame the men of today. But the women shame the men of today. And I'm talking about the men in the church today. Look at the women of the apostolic church. Read the book of Acts. See how zealous they were for the Lord's cause, for His church, for the gospel. Look at what tireless workers they were. Study the women of the Waldenses and others of the ancient church, the true church, and how they took their stand and suffered humiliation and were tortured and were killed, had their own children killed and risked their own children because they had a zeal for the Lord's portion and for His gospel. Consider the women of the Reformation. You've heard the story of the woman burned at the stake the day Rome burned a baby. She was pregnant. She was burning. Her abdomen burst open. The baby was expelled and it was alive. What do we do with it? And the sheriff said, throw it back in the fire. The Pope was happy with him. What about the Covenanter women? How about the two Margarets? Why were they drowned in the cold waters of the Solway? Because they would not accept the king as the head of Christ's church. Because the church is the Lord's portion, and they were zealous for his portion, and zealous for Christ as head of the church, and zealous for Christ's crown and covenant. And so they drowned. Let me go. I am Christ's child. An 18-year-old girl said, let me go. The women in this country, in the early part of our country's history, when there was a state church, and there were many wonderful people in the state church and many wonderful preachers, but they were wrong. And there were also tyrants. And there were those who said, we'll not be a part of the state church. We'll not allow the state to have rule over Christ's church. We will protect the jurisdiction of Christ over his church and his royal prerogatives, his covenant, his crown. And so they set up their independent churches and they were persecuted. And they were told, well, you have to, at the very least, pay a church tax, a special church tax, and support the state church. They said, we won't pay it. Some were told, you have to be in the state church. We won't go. Then off to prison you go, and there goes your property. And others, they said, well, we're going to let you have your independent churches, but you will pay a church tax, or we will take your property, we will put you in jail. Elizabeth Backus, the wife of Isaac Backus, a great preacher and pastor, he happened to be a Reformed Baptist, who was a leader among what we will call the nonconformists, and risk everything rather than risk the Lord's portion in America. His mother was Elizabeth Backus. And as an elderly lady, she went to prison and laid in prison more than once and for some long periods of time because she would not show contempt for the Lord's portion. On June 15, 1754, she had been in prison. And she says, I am still in the furnace, wave after wave rolling over me. And my God is graciously supporting, teaching, and comforting my soul from time to time in the midst of my various trials. Blessed be his name. The cause of Zion lies near my heart, but there is hope in God that is able to deliver. The cause of Zion. The portion of the Lord. Who cares anymore for the portion of the Lord? Who cares for the cause of Zion? Who cares for the church? Who cares? How many? They're like Laban. So many would rather do church than be the church. Timothy Dwight, that great preacher from that same era, wrote that song, which includes these words, I love thy kingdom, Lord. The house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved, with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye, engraven on thy hand. Timothy Dwight loved the church, was zealous for the Lord's portion. Go to Psalm 48. Psalm 48, verse 8. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. I know this is speaking first of Jerusalem, and of Zion then, I believe I can also speak of the church. That I can make an allusion to the church. He says, walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. He's talking about walking around Jerusalem. Mark the bulwarks, mark the towers, consider the palaces, the beauty and the glory of the Lord in the palaces, the strength of these bulwarks, these towers with their watchmen watching out for Zion, city of our God. Consider that. Walk around the church. Look back into her history. I see her bulwarks then. I see those who stood as bulwarks for her, were zealous for the Lord's portion. I see the watchmen in the towers, watching for the enemy, watching for wolves, watching for the roaring lion, watching for those who preach false doctrine, watching for any that would encroach upon Christ's crown rights and covenant, who would pollute the Lamb's bride, who would strip the king's daughter of her glory. I see them. I see her palaces. I see her churches filled with the glory of the Lord. I see that. But where are the bulwarks of the church today? Where are the watchmen in the towers? Where is the glory of the Lord today in the palaces of Zion? But this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. The church will never perish, as the song says. There are many who would take away the Lord's portion. There are many who would do it despite. There are many who don't care about the king's daughter, the Lamb's bride, but the church will never perish. Her true Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish is with her to the end. Though there be those who hate her and false sons in her pale, against the foe and traitor she ever will prevail. So the church will never perish, but will your love for Christ be so dim and dull and cold that you don't have a concern for His bride? And will your ingratitude to your Heavenly Father, who is not like Laban, who gives you your inheritance and guards it, who wants to give you a full portion in His house, will your ingratitude be so great that you don't care about His portion? And Rachel and Leah said, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our Father's house? Are we not counted unto Him strangers? I need to also speak to those who are not in Christ. If you're not born from above by the power of God, you have no portion and you have no inheritance from God. He's not your Heavenly Father. You're not His children. You're counted by Him as strangers. Like those who would impede the building of the wall around Jerusalem. You have no portion. You have no right. You have no memorial in Zion, city of our God. And you have no inheritance. And there are those who claim Christ, but their lives show that it's a false claim. They're false converts. And do you know what their end is? Well, their end is this. The Lord will come and will cut that false convert in sunder, the Bible says, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That's your portion, with the unbelievers in the lake of fire. You had better make your calling and election sure. You had better get serious about your eternity. And those of your loved ones who would say, well, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm in Christ. How many years do they have to act like they're not a Christian before you realize they're not? Nobody's perfect. But if you see a consistent behavioral pattern where people will mock the Word of God by pretending to love it and obey it and seek to obey it, and yet, whenever it suits them, to disobey it, to lie, to manipulate, to do what they want when they want to do it. And on, of course. Do you have an inheritance from the Lord and a portion in His house? Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. And then finally, those in Christ. I want to encourage those in Christ. We have a sure inheritance and a blessed portion from the Lord. We have a sure inheritance and a blessed portion from the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Now, we ought to dwell on this for a little while, and often, and for more than a little while. And we ought to live in the light of this truth that we have a sure portion. We have a sure heritage. We ought to be strengthened by this. We ought to press ahead in faith with joy toward the promised land. And we ought to zealously guard the Lord's portion. We ought to zealously guard the Lord's portion and be eaten up with zeal for His portion. Because He zealously guards our portion. And it was purchased with Christ's own blood. Because at the bottom of it all is Christ's blood and righteousness. We have no inheritance, we have no portion in the Lord's house, except that we're accepted in the Beloved. Our Heavenly Father has given us a sure inheritance and a blessed portion. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." And I often think of Psalm 87, 5 and 6. And I will apply this to the church. Zion, city of our God. It's true of the church then, it's true of the church now. "And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. I was born again into Zion by the blood of Christ my Savior. And the Highest Himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people that this man was born there." If you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, then rejoice that you have a sure inheritance and a portion from your Heavenly Father. Will you be zealous for His portion? Will you first rejoice in your own and consider it and be grateful and live in the light of this knowledge and this blessing? And then, will you be concerned with those who are strangers to the Lord, that we might see others receive this inheritance and this portion? And then would you be jealous for the Lord's portion and bless Him forever?